let your light scatter the darkness. May God be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us sing our thanks to God.
It is right to give God praise and praise.
Blessed are you, Creator of the universe. By night and day, may the light of your Christ make our darkness bright. For your word and your presence are the light of our pathways, and you are the light and life of all creation.
our prayers come before you, O God, as incense. And may your presence surround and fill us so that in union with all creation, we might sing your praise and your love in our lives.
Amen.
You may be seated. A reading from Micah. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. During our midweek Lenten services, we've been reflecting on our worship around word and sacrament. The liturgy broken up into gathering, word, meal, and sending. Today we reflect on the sending part of our worship. And this liturgy, this worship forms us to do what Micah is calling us to do here. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. Our worship is more than just a rest in honoring the Sabbath, particularly when we're gathering on the Lord's Day as our principal day of worship. It's the first day and the eighth day of the week, the beginning and ending. The sending is not a closing. It's a new beginning for us. We're sent out into the world as missionaries of God's grace to a world hungering for God's love and justice. The term Mass in Latin, it comes from the ite missa est, go, it is the dismissal. That's what it translates to. Go, it is the dismissal. Go, it is the sending. The goal and aim of our worship is to live as we worship. Do we live as if heaven and earth are joined together? Do we live as if there is no such thing as an existential threat for us as Christians? Because there is no such thing as an existential threat for us as Christians. Because St. Paul tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. St. Paul also tells us that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And there's a phrase when it comes to worship, lex orandi, lex credenda, which means the law of worship establishes the law of belief. What we believe is experienced in worship. What we believe is experienced in worship. A worship that is grounded in word and sacrament enables us to experience the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a particular way. This is why we should caution any approach to worship, particularly in the American Christian experience, becoming something of a consumer experience that can become either a form of entertainment or a form of theater. And it has nothing to do with style or piety, but our intention and desire, right? When we make it about us, when we make worship a commodity, it then shapes our belief and it communicates that belief to the world. It tells the world what we truly believe. But in our worship, around word and sacrament, we are brought up to the mountaintop with God. But the sending part of our worship reminds us that we don't stay there. And we are not to contain our experience of heaven on earth to ourselves. We are sent from this mountaintop of word and sacrament where Christ meets us, feeds us with himself to embody God's justice in the world through the vocations God has called each and one of us, each and every one of us to. And I'm not talking about just church activities. I'm talking about your daily life, the vocation that God has called you to, the places where you go throughout your day, the relationships that you've been brought into. And it shouldn't feel like a burden or an obligation. An encounter with the living God in worship
enables us to be free in Christ to love and serve our neighbor. And I would argue that liturgy forms us to live lives that are oriented to justice. We thank God for God's blessings. We thank God for God's gifts. And then we're sent back out into the world to be a blessing to others. One concrete example I can give is when Holy Communion is brought to those who could not be present with us. It's a tangible way in how we extend this to other people. But we are called and formed in our worship to live lives collectively and individually that embody God's justice in the world. It is a life of mercy, forgiveness, and love. Our worship orients us to Christ crucified, and we hear and experience a Savior that stood in solidarity with humanity, so that we too are shaped to stand in solidarity with others, particularly with those on the margins. We're also sent to provide consolation to our fellow family members of faith who are in need. And as we are dismissed from our worship, we're reminded that we are not alone, nor do the work that we're called to do in ministry is to be done alone, because we've experienced this together in community. We know that God is with us and that God has given us a family to walk with us, to lean on, the church. So at the sending, you know that the presiding minister gives the benediction. The assisting minister dismisses the congregation, typically saying, "Go in peace, serve the Lord." Just back up just a little bit there. In our newer hymnal, the ELW, it advises that announcements are to be made at the sending portion of the liturgy, not in the beginning. Why? Because those announcements will contain opportunities to engage in mission with the church that serve the community and the world. And we shouldn't see that ordo, gathering, word, meal, and sending, in a linear way, but a circular way. It's a circle. There's a rhythm to our communal life together. We gather, the Holy Spirit calls us together, we're fed and nourished with word and meal, we disperse, we gather again. Keep going. And we're not the same when we leave, because we've encountered the living God in word and meal. Jesus Christ shows up, like we said last week, right? When Jesus throws a party, he shows up. One image that comes to mind is the transfiguration. They're brought up to the mountaintop. We're brought up to the mountaintop. But we go down the mountain and follow Jesus into the world. From the table, we go with Jesus to the cross in the world. We live into our baptismal vocation as the priesthood of all believers. And this cycle is a never-ending cycle. And just to make another example of the church year, in the narthex, when you leave, you'll see there's a little poster of the church year. That's also in a circle, right? It's a cycle that keeps going and going. See, I think in our culture, we tend to think of these things as linear. But I think we're invited to contemplate and immerse ourselves in something different here. It's a cycle that keeps going. And this is where I think it's neat. It's kind of good news, I think, in a sense. If you miss a week, it's there for you. If you spend some time away, it's still here. You come back in. You come back in as the Holy Spirit calls you to be fed with the word and the Lord's Supper. Another passage that comes to mind is the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." We're gathered here in a place to worship, where we can worship in doubt, where the crucified and resurrected Christ is with us, The church has called us to continue to make disciples of all nations, of all peoples. So at our sending, we know that Christ is here for us, and Christ will be out there for us in the world. And we continue to give thanks for the Holy Spirit that sustains us in this life of faith. As I said in earlier weeks, Lutheran spirituality could best be summed as a spirituality of the Word. And we're immersed in this Word, in the way of life that, one of the words for baptism, one translation is baptism, is to be immersed, right? So we're immersed in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Worship does that. And so as disciples, we find sustenance and grow in faith as we encounter this living God in worship that feeds us with God's self. The sending is a reminder that we're not supposed to keep this to ourselves. I mean, think about it. You guys eat at a great restaurant. You keep it to yourself? Do you? Or do you tell people about it? You see a good movie. You keep it to yourself? You experience the living God in worship. You keep it to yourself? Some of us do, right? Think of all the good things you want because you want people to experience it, right? This isn't about going people and having a turn and burn conversation. It's experiencing the living God. It's experiencing God's love, mercy, forgiveness, and grace. It's being wrapped in this, immersed in this, and going out and sharing that. Being like, this is a great encounter with the living God. You should come sometime. You should be part of this. Encounter this community of faith where the living God is present. We share so many other mundane and relative things with other people, right? So you got to try this out. But we keep this to ourselves. The good news is that we encounter Christ here, and we are sent to encounter Christ out there. We receive the body of Christ here, knowing that we are the body of Christ out there. And we experience heaven here and are sent to be signposts of heaven on earth out there. May it be so, church. May it be so. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able as we sing hymn number 565. Light shines in the darkness.
shall bear a child, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High. And Mary said, I am the servant of my God. I live to do your will. My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant here and blessed me all my life through. Great and mighty are you, O Holy One. Strong is your kindness evermore. How you favor the weak and lowly one, humbling the proud of heart. You have cast the mighty down from their thrones and uplifted the humble of heart. You have filled the hungry with wondrous things and left the wealthy no part. Great and mighty are you, O faithful one. Strong is your justice, strong your love. As you promised to Sarah and Abraham, kindness forevermore. My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant here and bless me all my life and salvation, we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For peace between nations, for peace between people.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For us who are gathered to worship and praise you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all of your servants who live out your gospel.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who govern that justice might guide them. For all those who labor in service to others.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Grant weather that nourishes all of creation.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Keep watch on our loved ones and keep us from danger.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all the beloved who rest in your mercy, help us, comfort us all of our days.
Keep us hold of gracious God.
Great and merciful God, source and ground of all goodness and life, give to your people the peace that passes all understanding and the will to live your gospel of mercy and justice. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God, remember us in your love and teach us to pray. Our Father.
Let us bless our God.
Praise and praise to you.
May God, Creator, bless us and keep us. May Christ be ever light for our lives. May the Spirit of love be our guide and path for all of our days.
Depart in peace.